Thank you. That was great. I'm glad he said after church, because I think while I was speaking, somebody would sneak up here and decide to see if that's really on there or not. I'm sure it is. During the Bible reading today, I was wondering if anybody thought, wow, there is so much in Proverbs that they talk about foolish behavior and fools themselves. It's just chock full. It's not kind of politically correct, but it's all there. So I feel really good being able to preach that here and not in my home church. That's a tough lesson to speak in your home church, because if you've been with your home church for a long time, you will get to know people, and they may perhaps think that you are preaching to them, and you're not. You're just preaching the Word of God, so you can know that I don't know you intimately enough to address any kind of Proverbs foolish revelation other than just I'm preaching the Word of God. Will you bow with me, please? Hear us, O Lord, as we come here to study your word. We seek that your Holy Spirit would be our teacher. May our hearts be open to receive your truth, that our lives may be changed on account of it. For your Son's name we pray. Amen. I will not repeat Proverbs 26, verses 1 to 12. It was well read. As you were going through it, you would have had no problem hearing it. But you probably, if you're like me, when it's done so quickly, would have a little bit more trouble understanding it. This is a difficult set of things when you look at the Proverbs. But it requires you to sit down and actually think through it. You have to kind of wonder, what is he trying to say with some of these things? And I'd like to kind of go through that. I was talking to Sharon via email. I think it was our conversation. And I said, do you get many passages expositated on Proverbs? And she says, not too many. So hopefully it's new ground for us and we can enjoy it together. I am shocked that the Bible has so much to say about fools. It's not politically correct to identify anyone with ingrained negative traits in our society. If someone is caught being a serial liar, you cannot call them a liar. You can tell them that they have struggles with telling the truth. If a person is stone lazy, you cannot tell them that they're that way. You can only tell them that they are with low energy levels or they like video games too much. But the Bible talks about fools and how to identify them. Foolishness puts a lid on effectiveness. Foolishness thwarts the potential that God gives a person. And foolishness damages people forever in this lifetime. It should not be ignored by us. It should be taught, and it needs to be taught from the Word of God. In the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, Jesus is quoted as saying this, "But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Anyone who says to his brother or sister, 'Raca,' is answerable to the court," the Sanhedrin. "And anyone who says, 'You fool,' will be in danger of the fire of hell." This type of language is dismissive as Jesus is talking about it. It is marked by hate and vindictiveness. And Jesus places it in the attitude of the heart that produces murder or wishing somebody was off the face of the earth. The Bible is remarkably homogeneous. It is not the intent of the word, "you fool," from Proverbs. If I go to the doctor suspecting a serious problem, I don't want him messing around telling me good things about myself. Neither do I want him to tell me something that's good. For instance, you might say you have good hair. I like your blonde hair. And then tell me that I have a cancer. And then finish off by saying, and your knees are in pretty good shape. That would be called a bologna sandwich. Men, do not do this with your wives. If you do, you'll find out the reaction. You want directness if there's an issue. You want straightforward talk. And thank goodness the writer of Proverbs gives you just that. And he gives you a lot of insight into being a fool. Now, have you ever made foolish choices? And we all have made some unwise decisions. Licking a cold metal post. They made a Christmas movie about that. Before there were twist off everything, at Camp Oma, they had pop shop bottles. Does anybody remember those? Does anybody ever remember wanting or watching a lid of that come off with somebody's teeth? I did that. I still have lost a little bit of enamel from that. Did you ever tattoo a name on a body? Maybe you're not into tattooing. I'm not. But that's not a wise thing to do. Don't tattoo any names there. Start fire with a gasoline can. Go boating and forget to put the plug into the drain plug into the boat. You are not a fool if you've made some foolish choices. It's absolutely impossible in our modern world to not make some choices. And after you make them, someone's going to say, how could you have done that? It's incredulous. We understand that it's hard to go ahead and make a series of choices that is always wise and always right. But Solomon reminds the reader of Proverbs that we are the sum and the product of our good or bad choices. That's the screensaver for Proverbs. Every choice, every decision is weaving a tapestry for your identity. And when foolishness becomes a habit, we have become fools. Solomon warns, be careful, because you cannot get the grain of foolishness out of the wood of life. You sand and you sand and you sand the grain only to discover there is no more wood. Somehow, fools literally think that they get a bypass on the rules of life, that the worst will not happen to them. There is not a correlation to being knowledgeable and being wise. You would think there was some, but there's very little. I, like you, have met some of the most amazing, intelligent, smart people on the world, or in the world, but I would not let them be near my family or handle my money. You can be an intelligent fool, but you cannot be a wise fool, because fools ultimately serve themselves. Wisdom is the skillful application of knowledge and of experience. Wisdom implies that you remain in the company of humility. You may have to think about this, but wisdom means that there is something bigger than you and someone greater than you. That's the growing in wisdom when Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7 reads, Proverbs 1 verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's no mincing of words here. No struggle with political correctness for Solomon. Fools are not to be taken lightly because they are destructive to everyone and everything around them. Fools do not start intending to be that way, but they end up like grain and wood. Keep sanding to get the foolishness out. Keep sanding to get the foolishness out. And oops, no more wood. Just destructive piles of sawdust. So let's break into the 8 characteristics of being a fool from Proverbs chapter 26. Characteristic number 1. Fools are by nature dishonorable. Proverbs 26 verse 1 reads, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, honor is not fitting for a fool. The point that the writer is trying to make is that placing a fool in the position of honor will injure others. Look at the simile. Snow in summer, rain at harvest. It'll damage the crop. It won't survive. What has a fool ever done other than serve themselves that would warrant them being placed into a position of honor? Honor in the Bible is having the ability to sacrifice for someone else. Now, you may recognize someone for an accomplishment, but you only honor those that have made sacrifices for others. There's a big difference. Fools serve themselves. Let's stay on the idea. Verse 8, if you look down on your Bibles, like tying a stone into a sling is the giving of honor to a fool. This takes you back to David and Goliath times where you had a sling and a stone. It's kind of humorous language. You know, you would get it ready and you would release part of it, of the sling, and it would fly off in a direction. And what Solomon is saying here, it's like a person that ties the stone into the sling and it gets a lot of velocity, a lot of energy built up, and it's liable to come back and strike the person that tied it in there. The very idea is that it is unworthy to honor a fool who will hurt those around them and general mayhem to everybody else. Characteristic number two, fools need constant discipline. These people that are labeled as fools never seem to get the idea. Verse 3, a whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. You break a horse, there's going to be a measure of pain. You go ahead and motivate a donkey, there's going to be hurt and discomfort. And a fool, he or she just knows one thing, pain. And quite often, even then, they don't get it. Speaking and reasoning with a fool is ineffective. That's what Solomon's trying to say here. Force and consequence is all they know. From my experience raising 4 kids and being a high school teacher for 25 years and seeing strong-willed kids and teens, I can say this. You must draw close proximity. You must draw close to strong-willed kids and teens. I see the continual pain and heartache that parents experience when they want the best for their kids, but they are the ones who suffer at the hands of their kids' poor choices. Strong-willed kids need to feel presence and consequence. Parents ask, how many times are you going to go ahead and do the same thing before you learn that lesson? Because these kids never seem to understand responsibility. They never grow out of their foolish decisions unless there's a large measure of pain. Everyone tolerates them hurting someone else. And simply put, they need constant discipline. Unfortunately, fools often go the way of crows. You're in the rural setting a little bit more in Milton here, but in a metropolitan area like Toronto, it's very liberal, and you don't have sayings like, you go the way of crows. But go out to Alberta or go to Texas. It means something when you go the way of crows. What it's talking about is a crow's destructive nature. When they get together, they can be incredibly destructive. That's why they're called a mob or a horde or a murder. So what happens to crows? In a non-politically correct society, in the rural areas where they're causing damage, they are simply shot. Now, listen very carefully to this. Not all crows are shot, but people shoot crows. So a fool can get away with their destructive behavior for a long time, but eventually they'll have to pay some of the price. An entrenched fool will eventually suffer unnecessary deep personal injury to themselves or to the people around them. Characteristic number 3, fools not only don't care to change, they enjoy the trouble that they bring about. This is what verse 4 and 5 is saying. Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be just like him. Verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, or he'll be wise in his own eyes. Now, there's no need for expository heartburn as we look at these two verses. Do you answer a fool according to his folly, or you don't answer a fool to his folly? Explain. What's up? I think it's pretty easy to work through. Verse 4. The writer gives a few insights. Number 1, the writer implores each person to ignore the comments made by a fool. We tell this to our kids all the time. You could finish the saying, consider the source. Don't get too tied up. Why waste God's energy and their time to entertain the nonsense? Consider the source. Number 2, Don't engage in the emotional reactionary responses that a fool uses. Don't get hung up with mind games. When someone says to you with a lot of emotion, you never loved me like you loved the other brothers, or you never treated me with a car like you did your sister. Go ahead. Don't get upset. You can answer them very calmly. Well, we haven't gone to the principal's office 6 times for them, and the police station wants to pick you up. You have to hear very, very non-emotional responses. Number 3, every family has this type of person if they haven't already cut them off. It's the friendly fool, the one who sucks all the air out of the room at Thanksgiving and Christmas. The best advice that I can give is do not respond to the emotional hand grenades that they toss onto the table. The number one principle for this verse is do not take up an offense for another person. It's a spiritual principle. It's one that is very, very tough to learn, especially if a mom has a deep, deep love for a son. Do not take up an offense for another person. Just leave it there. There'll be an appropriate time to deal with that issue. That's verse 5. So verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes. Few implications from this. Number 1, a fool must clearly hear the words that he understands. Make no mistake about it, the words don't work. He will or she will not understand it. But clear words which bring the message of punishment bring the message. I didn't misspeak. It takes a lot to break a fool before that they see that there's a need for correction. Proverbs 1:22 reads, how long will you who are simple love your simple ways? How long will mockers delight in mockery and fools hate instruction? Again, clear words which bring the message of punishment bring the message. Point 2, erroneous and hurtful ideas from fools need to be corrected for the record. Fools often spread lies, tell part truths, only one side of the story, or flatter somebody else. Tempered fools will not learn. And if you don't know what a tempered fool is, it's like glass that's been tempered, a windshield. It's very, very hard. It can take a lot. Tempered fools will not learn, but there is more than one kind of fool. Proverbs talk about simple fools as well, who can learn. And they learn if the hardened fool or the mocker is punished. Proverbs 21 verse 11 reads, when a mocker, that's a hardened fool, is punished, the simple gain wisdom. By paying attention to the wise, they get knowledge. How do the simple pay attention to the wise? When the hardened fool is punished. This allows the simple fool to learn. Number 3, fools are great entrepreneurs. Fools love to export their folly, and they want you to import their emotional havoc. By acting from a position of authority and by appealing to God's ordained authorities that are involved in the fool's life, new business practices start. They start by stating the facts appropriately in private and appropriately in public. By not engaging in folly yourself, God starts the healing practice of dealing with fools. And number 4, for a spiritual community and a church, foolish leaders can be addressed. Foolish leaders need not be removed right away if they have done foolish things. They need to change, and they need to have the avenue to address that change. It happened with Paul twice in the New Testament. Galatians 2 verse 11. When Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. The other Jews joined in this hypocrisy, so that even by their hypocrisy, Barnabas was led astray. And then in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20, it says, but those elders who are sinning, they need to be reproved before everyone, so that others may take warning. Fools who are in a position of leadership need to be addressed so that they can stop others from being kept from salvation. Characteristic number four, dishonor boomerangs on those people that trust in fools. Going to verse 6, Solomon says, and I'm going to change the verse from the NIV, which we normally take, to the Jubilee Bible. So listen carefully. He says, "He that gives responsibility to one who is not able to carry it out is like him who sends a message by the hand of a fool. He shall drink the damage." I think in the NIV it says he'll drink the poison. Solomon is very direct, and he wants you to know that a fool is not capable of any kind of service unless it primarily benefits them. You will know a person by what they will do in the future by looking at what they've done in the past. So the consequence for disrupting the disruption of information that was sent out is that it will boomerang back on the person that sent the fool, and you will be humiliated. Discipline and focus remain the backbone of responsibility. So the fool remains a hazard because they cannot be disciplined. They remain a hazard to the message that is being sent. Now, going hand in glove to make this a bit practical is making kids finish what they started. Don't let the ball drop. You may not have them start new tasks, but they need to finish the ones. There's an obligation to that. It's a short road for a fool embracing the idea that all they have to do is all they want to do. Have you ever wondered why church attendance is so low? Do you ever wonder why the province of Ontario mandates 40 hours of community service for students before they graduate? I don't wonder at all. We don't make kids do anything they don't want to do. Characteristic number 5, fools are inappropriate. Like the useless legs of one who is lame is the proverb in the mouth of a fool. They have legs, but they cannot use them for their designed purpose. Solomon is telling us that they have no sense of the occasion, because fools are the occasion. They are so stuck on what they want to do and their impulsive behavior that they remain the ever-present occasion. They are not empathetic, nor can they be. Fools are the hero of every narrative. They are the subject of every conversation. Every interaction is about the fool so that it heightens their own stature. Fools are the legends in their own minds. I've just started quoting these things that I just remember hearing over and over. You could add to them because it's so well known. Fools will even show up at the viewing of a body where people are heartbroken with loss, only to tell someone of the experience they had just yesterday, because it's all about them. They lack the sense of otherness. Parents, grandparents, don't forget the Sabbath. Teach your kids to celebrate God and to focus on Him at least one day a week. Let them be a bit bored. As a football coach, I can tell you that my players were extremely excited to play football. They loved it. They loved being successful. But the day before a playoff game in which we were hoping to win, we were expecting to win, I would have occasionally players go home, not because they were hurt, not because they weren't enjoying themselves at practice, but because they wanted to play a video game. I can't even make it up. It's so profound to me. There is nothing more exciting to a kid and a young man than a video game, period. In Las Vegas, they are losing a lot of the slots and floors off their casinos to put in video games. It's done intentionally. It is like a drug with no moral payback. Knowing this, you have a responsibility to teach your kids to be bored for a while on the Sabbath. Don't let them work on a day like this to earn extra money. Teach them, teach yourselves that God is to be honored for that day. Even if it leaves you or me a little bored. Is anyone always totally excited and thrilled with their marriage? It's ridiculous, right? We're content, but we're not totally thrilled over the moon with our marriages all the time. And yet God is honored in our marriages all the time. Even if it leaves you bored for a while, remember the Sabbath. It's so incredible that we raise entitled kids, and entitled kids strictly are those that feel that they deserve something. Make sure that they realize they don't deserve most things. It's a gift. Instill heart and empathy on the Sabbath especially. Characteristic 6. Fools are unable to deal with healthy life situations in their present state. Verse 9 says, like a thorn that goes into the hand. Think of this, a big thick thorn that goes into the hand of a drunkard like a thorn that goes up into the hand of a drunkard is the proverb in the mouth of a fool. Fools are capable of understanding that wisdom is real and applicable, but it just doesn't apply to them. Like a drunkard that has an incredibly painful distraction and wound is unable, they are incapacitated to do anything about it in their present state. It's like a drunk telling another abuser why they shouldn't do drugs. Characteristic 7, fools are very hurtful. Verse 10, like an archer who wounds at random is one who hires a fool or any passerby. Now, the person that hires is complicit. They enable the fool to do some very terrible things. But it settles down to look at the action of the fool, this verse. If fools are given visibility and platform, they will often use their positions of influence as their personal misguided therapy. You may have issues with impatience or explosive rage, so that fool will hold another person hostage to their anger, little knowing that it will cost them the greatest of treasures later on. It's a gambler who loses the mortgage money, not caring about where the kids will eat. We know this happens all the time, and yet some of us will still gamble. 3% of gamblers make up 1/3 of our provincial revenue in the gambling stream. Know your limit, stay within it. It's ridiculous. And that's what happens when we allow foolish behavior to creep into our lives. Do we buy tickets? Do we go ahead and give tickets as presents? These are things that we need to take seriously. It's the making of fools. It's the drunk or the addict who cannot see how the upkeep of others is worth their time or effort. People are hurt lifelong because of fools. Entrenched foolishness is never a joke. And finally, characteristic 8. According to Solomon, fools are flat out unteachable. As a dog returns to his vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Fools take pleasure in their messes. They don't mind returning to see their handiwork. Fools don't think they have a problem. You do. There is no sense of how repulsive their behavior is. Fools are aware only of what they want and not reality. They're unteachable because they do not think that they need to be taught. Pride has ambushed objectivity. Jordan Peterson, quite a famous author, wrote, "Do not let your children do anything that would make you dislike them. Teach and discipline early. And in the discipleship process and the mentoring of fellow believers, do not tolerate foolish behavior. Foolishness starts on a low spectrum, but will always grow, and it usually impacts spouses or the relationship with God himself. So that's verses 1 to 12. I wonder if we can kind of just take a few more moments just to identify the warning signs of foolish behavior becoming entrenched. The first warning sign of foolish behavior is that it becomes entrenched. There's a difference between perseverance and stubbornness. Perseverance is missional and it helps others. Stubbornness is self-protection and self-service, which denies reality. Fools never see that this upsets others. Now, having a boyfriend or girlfriend. Now, I'm against guys having boyfriends and girls having girlfriends and the vice, you know, the other. Because most of the time it becomes self-serving. Godly principles are followed. If godly principles are followed, then dating can work. I just don't see it working very well in the church. As couples continually meet and break up. It's almost a practiced divorce. The second thing I want to mention is that foolishness always involves pride. Cultivating gratitude is tough. Now, for the quick person out there, the nut that did a quick turn on the bolt there, he'll realize I started off by saying foolishness and pride are combined. And then I ended with saying gratitude is very tough. Has anybody ever seen this? People love giving gifts to others that are very grateful. They love to give their time, their resources, their energy to those that can accept praise and deflect it to another right away. So for instance, you play beautifully, your piano is fabulous. They'll reply, when I was young, my mother introduced me to classical music, and I just owe everything, my love for classical music, I owe it to her. It takes the praise and deflects it and brings it to another. Your talent in football is absolutely amazing. You have great hands. Your roots are so sharp. Well, you know, I had great coaches, and they just worked me, and I really appreciate all the work that they've done. You know, that every time I hear about the work that you've done, your electrical work, it's fabulous. I want to hire you. Well, I had a dad that made sure that everything I did was done well, and I like to believe that I'm honoring him with my talent. Because pride and humility go hand in glove with deflecting praise, help people along, teach them explicitly what to do when they receive compliments. Number three, warning sign that foolishness is becoming entrenched. Keep an eye on impulsive behavior. Impulsive behavior can reach a point where it controls the situation itself. Impulsivity drives living for what you want. Does the situation that you find yourself in help others? Do not become impulsive. And finally, the fourth warning sign that foolishness is becoming entrenched. Watch out for the pursuit of pleasure. When you involve a principle from the Bible, when you violate a principle from the Bible, you can be sure that your pursuit of pleasure is helping you become a fool. Whether it is dating, consumerism, you just fill in the blank. No one always gets to do what they want to do. And if any biblical principle is being broken in the process of following something that you want to do, leave it behind. Just a couple ideas from my past I like to just share a little bit. I was in the Navy, I was in my second year, and my mom had seen that I had become somewhat prideful or foolish. I don't know exactly, but she didn't want me to be in the Navy. So I sat down with my mom and dad, and they told me it was time to leave, and the Navy. And I told them I had different ideas, and I'd be staying in. Okay, so as a young man, I could make my own decisions, but I'll do my best to make sure I was following the rules of the family. And that was the end of it, except my brother heard the conversation. And so he invited me into the backyard. I was a weightlifter. I used to squat 450 pounds. I could bench 295. I was kind of full of myself. But my brother pulled me in the backyard, and he used to warm up, like, on the bench with 315. That was his set. He was obscenely strong. It was like when you hit his back, it was just all muscle. And he told me that I needed to obey Commandment 5, that I needed to honor my father and my mother and go ahead and leave the Navy. And I told him I wasn't going to do that. So there was no problem. He just worked me over for about 30 seconds in the backyard. And I mean, a really good work over. And he asked me if I needed round 2. And I didn't, because round 2 was coming. And I was going to be stepped up. And he actually helped me see a biblical principle that I was missing. Now, in our day and age, that would never happen. It just doesn't happen like that anymore. And yet I'm very thankful to my brother that he helped me see that I was becoming a fool. In the old days, I lived in Little Italy in Hamilton, the Sands area, San Remo, San Marco, San Paolo, San Fernando. You name all the sand streets, there's about 20 of them. It was Little Italy, and the report cards would go home. And this is in the day and age when grades only half mattered. Your grades were important, but the comments were important. And if your report card came home and it had a comment like, Tim is really advancing and becoming the class clown, I knew I would be in big trouble. I mean, big trouble. And not only me. All of my Italian and Czech friends, there would be often, like a week at a time after the report card came home, that I wouldn't see them again. Can you imagine that happening now? It's impossible. When I was at a friend's house or a friend's came to my house and my dad walked into the room, we all stood up. It's actually in the Bible, but I think the principle's good. You don't have to necessarily stand up, but you better be doing things like that. And it prevented us from becoming fools. There was someone greater than us that entered the room. It was always Mr. Thatcher, Mr. King, Mr. Maselli, Mr. Capolito. It was always that. Now we don't do that at all. We may not even acknowledge when the parents enter the room. And finally, I'll just give one last example to show you how you're supposed to get involved and draw close to your kids and other kids. I was a baseball player. I loved it. I probably loved it so much that it was sinful. But I remember pitching, and I was up to bat, and I got hit by a pitcher. It was a close game. I really loved baseball. I was good at it. And then when I came up to pitch, that same player came up to bat. So what would you do? You hit him with the pitch. So I hit him, and then the game went on. I came back up, and he hit me again. It was really interesting. I went down to first base, and I looked over, and Mr. Thatcher was coming across the third base line. Nobody knew what to do. It's not in the rules of baseball. A dad was coming out to the pitcher's mound. He just said, "You're done. Let's go. And don't talk." And that boy left the game. So everyone was like, and the pitcher had to be replaced with somebody else. That was the end. So that would be a good story, right? Except my dad came from the first base line, and he came out to the first base and said, "You're done too. Let's go. And don't say anything. Just be quiet." And so that was it. There's nothing to appeal, because I was told to be quiet. And I walked behind my dad 2 steps. He didn't need to walk beside him. I wasn't stupid, right? So we walked home, and he said, "You can go to your room," and that's the end of that. And really, Tim, if that ever happens again, your baseball, it's over. And that meant if I did something dumb like that again, my baseball was over. The Church of Jesus Christ should never contribute to making fools, because we cannot implement the obvious warning signs that we're creating small fools and introducing them into our world. Kingdom parents and strong Christians and leaders in the church need to do more. Discipleship demands that we do better, that we listen to the Proverbs and heed its wisdom. Will you bow with me, and then we'll close off. Father God, we admit that you are a holy and a great God, and we are not like you, but we want to be. We've all been foolish and taken classes in folly, but we love your word. And it's been a hard word today. It's not easy, and it's certainly not easy to share, to live in a culture that does not want external advice, but we desperately want your advice. We praise you, Father, for providing a word that is sufficient for our day, for greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in us than the negative things that have impacted us. We give you glory, a God who can raise a son, who can shatter any stronghold that we have set up against your set interests in the world. Father God, keep us in your love and make us wise. Make wisdom our best friend. In your son's name we pray. Amen.